This is another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wentley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program, and today we have a message that was presented by Pastor Phipps to the Seabrook Church on Thanksgiving weekend in 1999. The title of the message is Thanks for the Triumphs. I hope that you will stay tuned as we have, as usual, a very special program for you. We have a special message, we have special music, and I'm sure that you're going to enjoy our half hour today here on The More Abundant Life. As we prepare for today's message, here is some special music.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. We pray as best we can. Now we must leave it in His hands. Yet I know when my eyes fail to see, He is able. Even though it seems impossible to me, He is able. Confident He's working all together for my good, I will stand behind His word, for He's able. Questions seem to haunt you night and day. How could God allow your heart to be torn this way? Does He listen when you call? Or is He even there at all? Yet I our eyes fail to see, He is able. Even though it seems impossible to me, He is able. But if He chooses not to in the way we pray, He would. Confident He's working all together for my good, I will stand behind His word, for He
praise God today. Praise him today. If you believe he's able, praise him. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14. My text this morning, but thanks be unto God, who always leadeth us in triumph in Christ. My message this morning, thanks for the triumphs. Thanks for the triumphs. On this, the last Thanksgiving of the decade, the century, yes, the millennium, I've been reflecting on what I would like to most give God thanks for. Like you, I'm thankful for life. There are some who couldn't live to see this day. I am thankful for health and strength, for bountiful blessings of grace, for matchless mercies. I am thankful. I am thankful that in the midst of life's frustrations, problems, and perplexing moments, we have an anchor in Jesus. I am thankful that because of Jesus, we are not laden down with trials, tribulations, and distresses. I am thankful that because of Christ, we do not have nightmares of despair and long nights of grief. I am thankful that because of Christ, we can smile at the frowns that come our way. We can bless those who give us the cold shoulder. I am thankful just to know that you have Christ in your life should be enough to cause you to have a glorious Thanksgiving. I have finally come to the point in my life where I realize that if God takes you in, it really doesn't matter who shuts you out. I've come to the point in my life when I finally have begun to realize that if God accepts you and others don't, that's not your problem. That's their problem. I've come to the point in my life where I finally begun to realize that if God welcomes you into his family and they keep you out of their clique, so what? I know that's not scripture, but so what? If it's still a problem for you, that's not God's problem. That's your problem. Just to know that you are God's child and to know that angels know your name ought to be enough to make you giddy with thanksgiving. When it seems like your enemies have gained the upper hand and that your world is caving in all around you, bring to mind God's admonition that we ought fret not because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be soon cut down, brought down like the grass. Oh, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I've got a sermon I'm preparing, Wings for Your Trials. I'm talking about that shining stranger who walks into the ashes and ruins of your life, and he gives you wings for your trials. In a special way this morning, I want to draw your attention to a promise that helped me to have an extraordinary Thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, who always causeth us to triumph. Hallelujah! Oh, you don't understand that word. Paul said, thanks be to God, who always causes you, no matter how difficult, no matter how hard, no matter how you've been put down, you're coming back. And you're coming back stronger than before. Because you serve a God who causeth you to always triumph in Christ. So when the chips are down, when it seems like you're going down for the final count, when it seems like you've been defeated, when it looks like your enemies have had a heyday, remember, in Christ, our God maketh us to always triumph. My God put the T in triumph. He doesn't know the D in defeat. Just the T in triumph. Well, perhaps the most dramatic moment of triumph in the history of the Hebrew children was their deliverance from Pharaoh's army. And I was doing some study about that this week. When Pharaoh sat on his throne defiant and God marshaled the forces of nature to make it clear to this bodacious earthly monarch that he was going down and that God was going to triumph. You remember how soon after God's people began their hurried march to freedom, Pharaoh had a change of heart. He determined that no matter the cost, he would bring back his runaway slaves, and his pride prodded him to choose an unwise course. How often that happens to us. Our pride prods us to choose an unwise course. He took 800 of his best horsemen, chariots, set out behind God's people in pursuit. God's people saw Pharaoh's army approaching and they panicked, and we do that. We look at the children of Israel and we say, oh, if they'd only see, because we can say that because we saw the movie. We say, what are they panicking for? But when you're in that situation, you panic too. They found themselves trapped by the mountains to the side, Pharaoh's army to the rear, and the sea before them. Women and children, men and leaders, all together became, and God gave me this, simultaneously hysterical. As Pharaoh's army began bearing down upon them from the rear, all seemed lost. God's people began shouting cries of complaints at Moses. They said, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here in this wilderness to die? In the distance, you see, they could see the armor, the flashing armor, the waving banners, the swift-moving chariots. Moses stretched out his rod over the waters in a gesture of faithfulness. And faithful compliance, the water stood up like walls on either side of the sea. The light from God's pillar of fire shone upon the billows, the foam-capped billows. Lord have mercy, you don't understand that they were looking at waves with billows that weren't coming over upon them. It was, are you with me today? They were just sitting there, and the light from the pillar of fire illuminated those billows. In Signs of the Times, 1870, the servant of the Lord bears witness to the scriptural record. And I read it, and I tell you, you got to read the spirit of prophecy. You got to read your Bible. You come up on things that you think you know, but you didn't really see before. The servant of the Lord says in Signs of the Times that it took Israel all night to cross the Red Sea. All night it took them. Not the 10 minutes that was in Cecil B. DeMille's movie. It took them all night long. All night long they could hear the tramping of feet bound for freedom. All night long, my Lord, God's people moved inexorably towards a glorious triumph. The Egyptians, listen to this, who were weary after chasing them, when they saw that the children of Israel were trapped at the sea, they figured they might as well rest. That's what she said. They figured, well, we got them. Let's do it in the morning. But all night long, they were marching. And while they were sleeping, God's people were marching. And that night, the servant of the Lord tells us that the Lord allowed a deep sleep to fall upon the Egyptian army. She said that night, even the sentinels, the watchmen at their posts, fell asleep. And in the morning, there was a blast of the trumpet that awakened the soldiers. They heard the sounds of voices marching, coming from the sea. And it was still so dark, they couldn't really see a thing. It was like a thick, dense fog that settled over the Egyptians. Pharaoh gave the command to go and get the slaves and bring them back. And in the darkness and confusion, Pharaoh's chariot started following the sounds of the escaping Hebrews in the sea. Coming from the sea. When the hosts of chariots and soldiers were almost halfway across, water began not just coming from above. Water started coming up from beneath. In other words, how can I say this? From under the bed of the sea, the water made the wheels of the chariot sink into the mud. The horses became entangled and utterly unruly. The servant of the Lord tells us, listen to this, that angels, I didn't know this till this morning. I got excited reading it. She said, angels of God went through the Egyptian host removing the wheels from their chariot. My Lord. My God can take the heat out of fire. He can take the poison from the serpent's venom. He can declaw the bear, take the fight out of a lion. He can take the fear out of danger. He can take sorrow out of death, and he can even take wheels off your enemy's chariots. Woo, what a God we serve. And then suddenly the cloud of darkness changed into a pillar of fire, and the thunder pealed, and the lightning flashed, and then all of a sudden the waters piled down. But before they came, she said, the waters were hissing and roaring like a beast about to devour its prey. Well, that day, the first song of thanksgiving was sung. And you can find it. We don't know the melody, but we got the words. Miriam led it. She was a prophet, you know. She led singing. And these are the words God's people sang. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. He not just triumphed, he triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. Sing ye to the Lord. You can find it in Exodus 15. Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. And now Paul, echoing those sentiments of victory in our text, says in 2 Corinthians 2, now thanks be unto God who always causeth us to triumph. So this morning, I got a lot of things to thank God for, but I just want to thank him for the triumphs. We don't stop enough to thank him for the triumphs. Woodrow Wilson once said, I would rather lose a battle on the side that must eventually win than win a battle on the side that must inevitably lose. No matter how difficult, you ought to praise God for the triumphs. Now, thanks be to God. What Paul was also saying here, and I want to make this point. When Paul wrote this, Paul was thinking of the Roman expression of triumph. In the Roman Empire, after there was a military victory, the victorious general was awarded what was known as a triumph. A triumph was really a victory parade. It was a long procession that traveled along the Via Scala up to the capital where the sacrifice was offered to their god Jupiter. In front walked the magistrates and the Senate. Whenever there was a victory, there was a huge parade. The Senate and the magistrates then came behind them, carriages laden with the spoils of war. Next came the distinguished captives, the chiefs and the generals of the subjugated peoples. And then right after them came the victorious general in a chariot drawn by four horses. And behind him, the troops he led to victory. Now, this figure, this concept, this reality is in Paul's mind, this figure of the Roman triumph. So when Paul says, "Thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ," the apostle is really seeing himself in the parade, in the triumph, in the parade of Christ. But he sees himself as one of the victories, one of the trophies. He sees himself as one who the love of Christ has subjugated. He sees himself as a prize of our Savior's victory. That's why he says, "Thanks be unto God who leadeth me in triumph." You see, in an ordinary triumph, those who were captured didn't share in the victory. It was only a victory over them and a victory against them. But when God wins a victory over the heart of man, when God leads his captive in triumph, that captive, for that captive, it is the beginning of triumphs. So I want like to see myself in that parade like Paul. Somebody said, "Make me captive, Lord, and I shall be free. Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. Imprison me, Jesus, in thine arms, and strong shall be my hand. Make me captive, Lord." This Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for many things, but I want to stop today and thank God for the triumphs. Amen. There is no other rock like our God. Tell the proud, the arrogant, he's going to triumph, and I will triumph with him. Tell them that God hears what they say in secret, and we will triumph. Tell them that the bows of the warriors will be broken, and those who are weak will be made strong. We will triumph. Tell them that those who starve, that don't worry, God will take care of you. The Lord maketh some poor and he maketh some rich. He brings some low. He lifts some up. Thanks be to God. We will triumph. Thanks be to God. I said we will triumph. Amen. You believe you'll triumph? When you pray, pray believing that you serve a God who always causeth you to triumph. There will be times when your world will seem like it's coming down. But he says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you. You'll glorify me. Offer unto God thanksgiving. He'll heal that sickness." How many know he'll heal that sickness? He'll cure the affliction. He'll bring peace where there's conflict. He said, "I will cause you always to triumph." How many of you like that word from God today? You need that word. You say, "You mean?" Yes. You will always triumph. That doesn't mean you won't have trials. It doesn't mean you won't have tribulations. It doesn't mean you won't have difficult days. But God's word means what it says. In Christ, you will always come out the victor.
That brings us to the end of the message for today and to the end of our program. I do hope that you've enjoyed the message and that it's been a blessing to you. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. You will want to ask today for program number 160. That's program number 160. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Good Luck Road in Lanham, Maryland, which is in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. You may call the church office for directions. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and 11 a.m. My name is Adrian Westney, Jr. I'm your host for today's program, and as always, I wish you God's richest blessings for the week. Please join us again for another program, but until then, remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Shine a light in someone's life. Try to make a difference. Reach down inside your heart and show you really care. Someone may find in you hope for their tomorrow. All you did was smile, and you will only feel that God put you there.
In your